Well, it's great to be with you all, and it's always a great privilege for me to share God's Word. And if you would, please take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 5. I think this is going to be just exciting this morning. We're going to just do this morning a kind of a brief review of God's plan of redemption for mankind. In chapter 5 of Romans, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And you know, sometimes people have the question, well, why did Jesus have to die to save mankind? Why did he have to give his life for mankind? Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 3. We're going to come back to Romans 5, but we're going to go to Genesis 3 for a minute. Genesis 3. Now, if you're familiar with Genesis chapter 3, the serpent came to Eve and basically said God was lying. Go ahead and eat of the fruit from the tree of good and evil. God was lying to you. Go ahead and eat it. They had a commandment from God. They disobeyed the commandment from God. And in verse 22 of chapter 3, the Lord God said, we're in 3:22, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, look at this, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the end of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." There is really a great lack of understanding of the catastrophic damage that Adam and Eve did in disobeying God. In chapter 2, verse 16, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, enjoy yourself." Verse 17, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof you shall surely die." That's what God had said. They disobeyed, and on that very day they surely did die. They lost spirit life. You know, sometimes people say, well, God said in the day you eat it, you're going to die, but Adam lived like 900 years. Yes, he did. He lived 900 years with his body and soul life. God originally had human beings with two life forms, body and soul life, which we all have now, and spirit life. And in the day they ate it, they lost spirit life, and the loss of life is death, right? Not only that, they turned the dominion that God gave them over to Satan. And here we read that they lost access to this tree of life. And, you know, it says in the last part there of verse 22, "Lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever." God's original plan for human beings was that we live forever. Forever. That's what he wanted for us. It's interesting that this tree of life, you don't hear about it anymore in the Bible until the book of Revelation. In the third heaven and the third earth, tree of life is there again. So God's original desire for us, for human beings, I don't know about cows or butterflies or birds, but I know for us, he wanted us to live forever. And Adam ruined it. You're out. You just lost the Spirit of God that you had, which is spirit life. And God did not want to have Adam and Eve live in that uncondemned state forever. So, no tree of life, out. And you put a cherubim there with a flaming sword, whatever that was, I don't know, but nobody's going near the tree of life now, period. So, after they sinned, God didn't allow them to live forever in that condemned state that they were in. And as you know, before they got ejected from the garden, God came up with a plan of redemption and mentioned the Savior coming, which is, of course, in verse 15. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of the woman. Now, we all know from biology class, right? The woman has the egg, right? Here it says the seed of the woman. And I think we looked at that last week when the angel came to Mary and said, the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon thee. Therefore, that holy thing which is born of you will be called the Son of God. Divine conception, God provided. And that's why it says the seed of the woman. So we're going back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I know there's a lot more there in Genesis, but I just wanted to show you that section where God originally wanted us to live forever. So, God came up with a plan of salvation. We're going back. We're going to read now what we just read in Romans 5. After reading that stuff in Genesis, Romans 5, verse 6 again. But, or no, yeah, verse 6. Romans 5, 6. For when we were yet without strength. What kind of strength? Spiritual strength. Right? It's not talking about how, if you can pick up the biggest rock from the move yesterday. Because some of us were without strength yesterday, physical strength to lift up that big rock. Thank you, Matthias. But this is talking about when we were yet without any spiritual strength. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly. We didn't have God because we didn't have his spirit. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. By his blood means he died. Jesus Christ died for us. And that's what verse 6 was talking about, that Christ died for us. Right? So that's what that means, by his blood. Sometimes you read that in the Bible, the blood of Christ. It doesn't mean that which dripped. It means, it's figurative. The precious blood of Christ means his precious life. He gave his life for us. And it says that we're now justified. And justified means to be made right in the sight of God. To be made righteous. And keep your finger here and go back to chapter 3. Verse 21, it says, but now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith or the believing of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. To receive God's righteousness, to be right in God's sight by believing? There's no difference. Yes, but I've sinned a lot. So has everybody. Verse 23. For we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified, made righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So back to chapter 5 of Romans. Verse 9 again, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Jesus Christ was the payment for our sins. And 1 John says, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. All the sins ever committed. He paid the price. Remember, John the Baptist said concerning Jesus Christ, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was going to be that perfect sacrifice. And here it says in verse 9 that we're saved from wrath through him. The reason we're saved from wrath, from judgment, because there is a judgment day coming. Oh, people can do all they want, and they can live like however they want, like it doesn't matter. Well, maybe it doesn't matter today, but there is a day coming. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is going to be the righteous judge. But we're delivered from wrath. We're delivered from that judgment. Why? Because we who believe in Jesus are now in God's sight made righteous. We've been justified. We are special people. And it's because Jesus Christ paid the price. For, verse 10, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God, how? By the death of his son, paying the price, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. That's the reconciliation that we have, reconciled back to God by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. Then verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. This word death here is referring to loss of spirit life. That's what Adam brought for all of us. Thank you, Adam. Wherefore, let's look at it again, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. Death is loss of spirit life. God said, in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And he did. Lost spirit life. This death means having no spirit life, and this was passed on to all human beings because of Adam. Remember in Genesis that we just read, they no longer had access to the tree of life, right? God had intended for human beings to live forever and enjoy this wonderful planet. So back then, they immediately lost spirit life. They were expelled from the garden. We read that, right? You drove them out. You're out. And then, as you know from reading the Bible, many years later, the loss of body and soul life followed many years later. And as we see today, lifespan has definitely changed from how it was back in Genesis. I mean, Adam lived like 900 years. Abraham lived 175 years. So lifespan has changed as well. But never forget, God's heart desire for these creatures that we call us human beings, his desire was that we would live forever. And Adam ruined that. And God's plan was to send the Savior to fix it. And it's just awesome what we're reading here. It's just awesome. This death here in verse 12 is no spirit life. God's plan was to have the Savior atone, to give his life a ransom for the sins of the world. We're coming right back here, but look at 1 Corinthians 15. I just want to show you one verse in 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians 15 and in verse 21. For since by man came death, that's Adam. Since by Adam loss of spirit life came, right? Since by man came death, by man, this is Jesus Christ, came also the resurrection of the dead. Back to Romans 5. To satisfy all the legal claims of justice, it was going to require that a perfect man be the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And that was Jesus Christ. So let's go back to Romans 5, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, that's loss of spirit life, and so this loss of spirit life, that death, passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law was in the world, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin's not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. No spirit life, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who's the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, have no spirit life, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. Condemnation, this word in the Greek only comes up in three places in the Bible, twice here and once in Romans chapter 8. But it basically means a sentence against. You know, like if you were in a court and the sentence came against you, not favorable. The sentence that Adam received was no surprise. In the day you eat it, you will surely die. Loss of spirit life was his sentence. That's the condemnation here. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense, death, loss of spirit life, reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. What kind of life would this be talking about then? Spirit life, which is eternal life. Oh my goodness. That's what the Savior came to accomplish. Remember, Jesus Christ said, the thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. When Jesus Christ said that, he was talking to people who were alive. When he said, I am come that you might have life. We are. We are alive. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? I am come that you could be alive. Well, we are alive. Much deeper. I am come that you might have life, eternal life, spirit life, everlasting life. How exciting. Verse 18. Therefore, as the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. We all inherited the condemnation from Adam. Death, we just read a few verses ago, death passed upon all. No spirit life. That sentence, that's this condemnation. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. Again, what kind of life? Eternal life. Sure, spirit life that we get. And those who choose to believe in Jesus, the sentence of death, no spirit life, is over. And we receive God's gift of Holy Spirit, we receive his righteousness, and we belong to him forever. This is what the Savior came to repair what Adam totally screwed up. The Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we're coming right back here, but in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, probably familiar verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No more sentence against us that was passed on from Adam. No more sentence of no spirit life for you to them that are in Christ Jesus. So back to chapter 5. You know, this chapter 5 is just, it's like every time I read it, it's like, just gets bigger. The font gets bigger. It gets bold. Chapter 5 is just so amazing. So, verse, let's do 18 again. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, no spirit life, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, to live forever. People spend billions every year to look younger, feel younger, be younger. That's fine. God says he's going to give us new bodies. Can you imagine trying to live forever in these bodies? God has promised us eternal life, and it's going to happen. God's plan for human beings, that the Savior would pay the price to make eternal life available for all of us. A new spirit life for us, bought and paid for by Jesus Christ's accomplishment. And so now, God makes this eternal life that Jesus Christ paid in full for, he makes it available to whosoever. You would think, with all that Jesus Christ went through, and if you read the Gospels, he endured so much, you know, not let alone being nailed to wood and hanging for 6 hours. But you would think after all of that, God would go, that's such a heavy price, my only begotten son. I'm going to make eternal life available to those that deserve it, to those that work to earn it. That's exactly what religion teaches. You got to be good enough to make it to heaven. You got to quit doing this, quit doing this, quit doing this, and start doing this, 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 and this. And yet, what do you read in the Bible? God so loved the world, people. And doesn't it just, don't you see that a little bigger this morning when you think about how God's original intention was that we would live forever? God so loved the world, people, not the birds and the bees or the, you know, the trees and the butterflies. Yeah, he loves all that. But when it says God so loved the world, it's talking about people. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then here it comes, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. An open invitation to everybody and anybody, even the biggest jackass on the planet. If he decides to believe in Jesus, God says, come on in, here's eternal life, Spirit, you're going to live forever. What a God. What a God. We're going to close, I think, in, well, first go to Isaiah, and then we'll close. But go to Isaiah chapter 53. There's a lot of prophecy about Jesus Christ, the Savior, coming in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. That was speaking prophetically of what Jesus Christ would go through and what he would do for us. And then if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1, or I'm sorry, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. What a Savior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, having no spirit life, should live, have that spirit life, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Isaiah prophesied, by his stripes you are healed, and here it's a complete, accomplished reality. By his stripes you were healed, and that's why we can go to God for healing, because by his stripes we were healed. And so this wonderful verse here tells two great realities of what the Savior did for us, that he took our sins, he paid the price for our sins, and he paid the price for our healing. And 2 or 3 weeks when we do communion here, we're going to look at the broken body, shed blood, bread and wine memorial that he instituted. Before I close, I wanted to read to you. This is a book that Reverend Cummins put out called The Acceptable Year of the Lord. And it's a harmony of the Gospels, chronological, the Gospels, starting from John the Baptist up until 6 days before Jesus Christ was crucified. And it's a great work. But the first chapter of this book lays a great foundation, and it's entitled The World's Need for a Savior. So I wanted to just read you the summary of that chapter, The World's Need for a Savior. In summary, we have seen that when Adam transgressed God's commandment, he lost spirit life. He transferred his dominion to the devil, and he was sent from a very good environment where he would have lived forever if he had eaten of the tree of life. Sin, condemnation, and death entered the world because of Adam's transgression. And that condemnation and death were passed to all people. These conditions suggest that mankind had a need for salvation and a Savior. Knowing that Adam had lost spirit life, we also considered a record in which God spoke of his intent to pour out spirit upon people. Knowing that Adam had transferred his dominion over the earth to the devil, we also considered records in which God spoke of his intents regarding his future reign in a kingdom, and of a kingdom and dominion that were going to be given to one like the Son of Man. Knowing that Adam had been sent from the Garden of Eden, we also considered a record in which God spake of his intent to make Jerusalem like Eden and the Garden of the Lord. We also saw that God spoke of his intent regarding his righteous servant, who was to do no violence, nor to say anything deceitful, who was to be despised and rejected of men, and who was to bear the iniquity of other people by dying for the transgression of God's people. God's righteous servant was to be an offering for sin, and the travail of his soul was to satisfy whatever was required to justify many. Although Adam had transgressed God's commandment and had caused sin, condemnation, and death to enter the world, God intended for a righteous man to come and give his life on behalf of mankind's depravity, and thereby to make restitution for the things that Adam had lost. We've also seen that certain ones were sent by God to speak for God, and that they spoke of Jesus as the one who was to take away the sins of the world, and who was to have an endless kingdom. God sent Jesus Christ to be the ransom for the sins of many, and Jesus Christ accepted the responsibility to do the will of God and to finish the work that God had sent him to do. He was also to fulfill the Mosaic Law, which was a shadow of the good things that he was to accomplish. God also sent Jesus Christ to preach and to heal, and Jesus Christ preached about things that were to be made available by his accomplishments. By his accomplishments, the gift of Holy Spirit, everlasting life, and entrance into the kingdom of God were to become a reality and available. The world was in need of a Savior, and God designated Jesus Christ as the one who was to be that Savior. I guess he put a lot in that first chapter, huh? What a great summary of God's desire and the world's need for a Savior. So, what a God who truly loves human beings. What a Savior to do the will of his Father. As I mentioned before, the teaching in 3 weeks on the 10th, we're going to do communion service here. Next week, the 27th, and the following week, we're going to look at some of the details of Jesus Christ's last hours before he was arrested. And boy, at that Last Supper, he sure taught a lot. He taught at that Last Supper about service, love, the hope, believing, prayer, persecution, and of course, the coming of Holy Spirit. Must have been quite an evening. We close by reading this verse again. Verse 24 of 1 Peter 2. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for your love for people, for human beings. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to redeem mankind fully and to restore what Adam lost. Thank you that your Son did your will and finished your work. Thank you for all the great rights, privileges, and abilities we have as born-again ones, including eternal life. And thank you for your word that, Father, we don't have to guess, that we can go to the scriptures and see clearly and understand all that you have done and made available for us and for what is to come. Thank you, Father, for everyone here in this room and those on the phone hookup. Thank you for the privilege of sharing your word, and may we all just have a wonderful week trusting you, believing you, and being so grateful for our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name I pray. Amen.
Amen.